Indonesia has the largest Muslim population in the world, and it's common for devout students there to attend Islamic boarding schools called pesantren. They're fairly traditional schools. They teach the Quran, Arabic language, and Islamic law. But there is one pesantren in the city of Yogyakarta that's a little different. It's just for transgender women. Jess Engebretsen has the story from Yogyakarta.
About five women lay out books, mats, and glasses of hot tea on a shady veranda. Arabic class is about to begin. These students are all waria, transgender women. One of the students chanting the alphabet is a stout woman named Bunda Yeti. She's been studying here for several years. Bunda was raised as a boy, but says she knew early on that she was really a girl. Indonesians are relatively tolerant when it comes to transgender women, but discrimination is still widespread. Many struggle to get identity cards, which are required for voting. Medical care can be hard to access, too. And Bunda struggled with another problem. How and where should she pray? In Indonesia's mosques, men and women pray separately and wear different religious garb. Bunda didn't fit into either category.
Yeah, mengabaikan.
She says, it was a struggle for me. Normally, I would have joined the men's section, but I was wearing a dress and makeup. And could I pray with the women? Of course not. Everyone would stare at me, and I would never feel comfortable. Nobody wanted me in the mosque. So she stopped going. I just prayed at home, she says, but I couldn't do the full five prayers a day. For major holidays, I might go to the public square, but how could I pray at the mosque? I had fallen away from God. Then, in 2008, a friend of hers opened this Islamic school, just for waria. It's a small, informal setup. No grades, no graduation, only about 20 students. But for the first time in years, Bunda felt she had a place to practice her faith. As dusk falls, the students prepare for evening prayers. Though they all identify as women, their dress runs the gamut. Bunda wears a sarong and pechi cap, traditionally male attire, along with a ponytail and red toenail polish. Others prefer more traditional female clothing, headscarves and brightly colored mukena. After dinner, they hear a presentation from a visiting Islamic scholar. He tells them that Islam has room for transgender people, quoting the Quran and the sayings of the Prophet Muhammad. And the students applaud, enthusiastically. The school's director, Sintaratri, is also a waria. She says these classes deepen the students' faith. But they're also a chance to educate the teachers.
Untuk sekarang orang-orang lebih open mind, the people more open mind about transgender. Yeah, but in this religion, no.
She says religious attitudes are stuck just where they've always been. So we have a strategy to reach out to the religious establishment going through Islamic university teachers. Others in the LGBT community here aren't so sure. Community activist Angarista Aprianto is quick to say he's not anti-religion. He's a devout Muslim himself. But he worries that trying to win over religious leaders is a waste of time.
In Indonesia, we have little hardliner Muslim, but they have a big influence and big role in our government.
He says it's just more practical to work with secular human rights groups to gain acceptance. Sinta, the pesantren director, says she knows that most religious leaders have been slow to change their views. But she says her small school is gaining support from an unlikely place, a university run by Indonesia's largest Islamic group, Nahdlatul Ulama, has agreed to provide the school with teachers and support. She shows me the signed document that she plans to hang on the wall. The agreement won't change all that much on a day-to-day basis, she says. But the symbolism still matters. For The World, I'm Jess Engebretsen, Yogyakarta, Indonesia.